Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again in the house of God. The Bible said, my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. And every time we come in this house, Lord, we must pray. And we must seek your face. We must ask, Lord, for your glory and for your presence into our lives. And we know, Lord, as you have promised in your word, the entrance of your word brings light. May that word bring light to our situation this morning and cause us to draw closer to you, that we may walk in those paths of righteousness and move on to the gates of heaven. We give you all praise and all glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Amen. Now, this morning, a short message. We're going to break bread after the, and I'll talk about that in a little bit and so forth. But I want you to listen to this morning, everybody. Listen to this and make sure you have your Bibles out. I'll give some scriptures that we're going to read together. A new standard this morning. A new standard. Well, it's really not new, but, you know, it's new with respect to the way the world does their things and so forth, but it really isn't new. So turn with me to Isaiah chapter 62. And I'm going to read from verses 10 through 12. And we're going to make this quick this morning. Isaiah 62, verses 10 through 12. And make sure you have your Bibles out and follow with me on these scriptures that we are going to read this morning. Now that's Isaiah chapter 62, starting at verse 10. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. So we are going to lift up a standard this morning. A standard that we should all follow according to the word of the Lord. How many of you say amen? Now, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, that's to all of God's people, behold, thy salvation cometh. And behold, his reward is with him. Now that's Jesus, he's coming. You know, if you'll notice here, he calls him your salvation. And he is bringing his reward with him and his work before him. And, here's what they are going to call the people of the Lord. And this is what the standard is this morning. They are going to call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out. And I'd like to say, instead of a city not forsaken, I'd like to say a church. Or the church that's not forsaken. Now, you can look at this, this little GMI family that we have here. You know, Jesus said, you know, fear not, little flock. It is the Father's goodness and willingness and pleasure to give you the kingdom. How many of you know that's true? Fear not, little flock. Doesn't matter how little you are and so forth like that. You know, and if you remember the message, you know, a year or so ago, you know, small beginnings and greater endings. Now, you know, but here's what the Lord wants us to pay attention to this morning. This is what we want everybody to call the people in this church. We want them to call us the holy people. We want them to call us the redeemed of the Lord. Now, that's really for every believer. See, but I'm not responsible for all believers. See, I'm only responsible for the people in this church. You know, well, you know, if they want to hear, you know, they can hear. But, you know, this message is really for all believers, but, you know, I'm responsible to bring this message to the church, this church here this morning. You know, so, you know, this church ought to be called the holy people. They ought to be called the redeemed of the Lord. They ought to be called sought out. You know, what does that mean? Well, it means people are going to want to come here. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Oh, yeah, well, some of you don't believe it. You don't sound too enthusiastic, you know. But you watch and see, you know, people are going to want to come here, you know, because of a new standard. Praise the Lord. Now, let's talk about this standard this morning. Now, of course, you know, there are some people that won't want any part of this, you know, because this standard has to do with holiness and righteousness, you know. And, you know, we're not talking about, you know, we're not talking about going to church this morning. We're not talking exactly about, you know, even being a Christian, because sometimes I really don't know what that is anymore, you know, so forth like that. But we are talking about the people of God, righteous and a holy people, and so forth like that. We're talking about sons of God that are coming into the image of Christ. Now, so let's read Jeremiah chapter 6. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 6. And I'm going to read verse 16. Now it says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. So that's why I said it's not really a new standard. It's kind of new because people have forgotten, you know, but it's really not new. You know, it is the old paths. It is the good way. See? And he says, walk therein and ye shall find rest to your souls. You know, so the good old paths. See? The apostolic doctrine. You know, the way Jesus laid it down, the way those apostles, and they laid it down. You know, the Bible says we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. The way they laid down those principles, you know, and so forth. Like, the good old paths, you know, and so forth. That's the good way, the Bible says. You know, the world has changed all of that today because the Bible says in the last days, people will not endure sound doctrine. But they will give heed to seducing spirits. See? Because they don't want any sound doctrine. Now, this is sound doctrine here this morning that we are going to talk about. Now, this good old way, you know, this good path and so forth like that, it's found. What is the way? What is this good path? Now, it is found in Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8. It is called the highway. And it is called the way of holiness. That's in Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Now, that is the standard. That is the good old way. See, and that is the good path. It's called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, you know, the select few who want to draw close to God. He said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Now, this kind of message, you know, I mean, if it's not a message that's going to say, hey, you believe the Lord and God's going to put money in your pocket and so forth, may not be very popular, but this is what God wants us to hear. Especially when we are in a time of consecration like this. Now, consecration is a time that we draw closer to God. You know, so God's going to tell us some things this morning, you know, and so forth like that, that will help us to get closer to him, that will help his image, you know, to come out in us and for us to bear that image. Now, so that highway is called the way of holiness and so forth like that. You know, that is the good old way, and it is called holiness unto the Lord. Psalm 93 and verse 5. Psalm 93 and verse 5. This verse says that thy testimonies are very sure, and holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. You know, people, if you don't know the meaning of that word, become, meth, you know, here's what it means. You know, something, you know, sometimes people say, you know, somebody's acting in a way that is unbecoming and so forth like that. You know, so it's like, you know, this is the characteristic. This is the trait of your house. It's holiness. Holiness unto the Lord. You know, that's what we want to talk about in the house of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Amen. How many of you know the foundation of God is standing sure? That's right. And this is the seal. I preached on this message before, which we titled a two-part seal. I mean the great seal, a two-part covenant. God has his part, and then you have your part. But here is it. He says, the Lord knows them that are his. You know, that's the Lord's part. You know, he's got those people, those that, you know, he's written them in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's got your name written in the book of life. But this is your part. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. How many of you can say amen to that? Amen. You say, well, you know, Why this, you know, Paul was writing this to Timothy, and he was writing it to their church. Now, this is not a message for unbelievers. This is people that name the name of Christ. They need to depart from iniquity. That's my message this morning. You know, because their church, not this church exactly, but their church in general, is full of iniquity. See? You know, one writer in the Bible, he used to say, I've seen a great vanity under the sun. Well, you know, the Holy Ghost, he has seen this great vanity under the church. You know, under, you know, in the church and so forth like that. And now he commands everyone everywhere to repent and to walk the straight and narrow way. How many of you say amen? You know, this is the message. You know, it's a bitter, sweet message this morning and so forth. You know, Bible says, as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but there's also vessels of wood and of earth, some to dishonor and some to honor. Now, so in a great house, like in the church of God, you know, there are some vessels that are unto honor. They are all in the house, you know, and so forth. You know, exactly. They are all in the house. But there are some that are called vessels of honor. And there are some that are vessels of dishonor. I want you to think about that for a minute. They are all in the house. Jesus said, let them both grow together. See, they are all in the house. The church is full of vessels of honor and some vessels of dishonor and so forth like that. You know, but he says that if a man purge himself from all unclean things, you know, then he will become a vessel of honor. And he will be sanctified. And he will be meet for the master's use. And he will be prepared for every good work. And now he turns and he says, now Timothy was a young man. There's many young people in here this morning. You know, and so forth like that. And here's what Paul, by the Spirit, said to Timothy. So you young people, you listen to me this morning. He said to Timothy, flee also youthful lusts. See, now, flee those lusts. It's like someone once said, you know, if you are trying to run away from sin, don't leave a forwarding address. See? Amen? Don't leave a forwarding address where you want to run away from sin. What it means is don't put yourself in compromising situations. See? Now, I have noticed one thing, you know, that, you know, this generation that we are living in, you know, and so forth, you know, the young people, you know, sometimes, you know, they don't seem to know the difference, you know, between right and wrong. And in this society, you know, back in the days when I was a young man, when I was growing up, we knew the difference between right and wrong. It seems like in this society these days, people don't know the difference between right and wrong. Even the institutions. See? In high schools, in different places, you know, the authorities and so forth. I mean, there are schools today that they are distributing condoms and so forth like that. You know, because, you know, this whole nation, you know, they have forsaken the ways of God. See, you better wake up, America, because the handwriting is on the wall. How many of you say amen? Oh, yes. I am bringing this indictment against this generation this morning. You know, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. You say, why are you speaking like this? Well, because the Lord told me to preach this message. And he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You see, because it is the Spirit that is speaking. See, but if you don't want to hear, if your conscience is here, you know, and so forth like that, you don't want to listen to the word of the Lord, you know, and so forth like that. That's when you might be able to discern that your state is already backsliding. But this word, you know, if it pricks your heart, you know, it's the Bible is like a mirror, see. When you look inside, if you see that your face is dirty, then you better go clean up. You know, so when God speaks, if you, you know, if he convicts you, because the Bible says when the Holy Ghost comes, he shall convict. You know, that's one of the things he does, you know, and so forth. And if the Holy Ghost is no longer convicting you of anything, it's probably because your conscience is already seared. And that's a dangerous place to be. You know, and so forth like that. You know, so you listen to this message this morning. Don't be rebellious in your heart. You know, don't do anything like that. You know, I'm not preaching at you. The Lord is speaking to all of us. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. You know, so, you know, you young people, we want you to lift up a standard in this generation. Don't be like the world. Be like Christ. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. And I don't want you to be like Christians, because we don't know the meaning of Christians anymore. We want you to be the children of the living God. Because this word Christians, people go to church, they say they are Christians, and they are every day, you know, behind the scenes, they are committing fornication. You say fornication, that's exactly right. See? And they're doing all of these things and so forth like that. And they're carrying on and doing all these crazy things. And they call themselves Christians. You know, so God has rejected the generation of Christians. See, because they have brought shame to the name of Christ. Now, what he wants now, he says, to them that believed him, to them that received him, he gave them power, not to become Christians, but to become sons of God. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Sons of God! To be like Christ. Jesus was the blueprint of what a son of God should be. And until you are like him, you better don't stop striving. Paul, you know, he wrote, you know, he knew how to walk, you know, that letter and so forth by the Spirit when he would write to them. And he said to the Galatians in chapter 4 and 17, you know, and he wrote to them and he said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. You say Christ wasn't formed in them even though they were Christians? Absolutely he was not. See, Christ is not formed in you just because you gave your life to Christ the first day. This is a process. And if you don't stay with the process, if you don't stay on the paths of righteousness, the next thing you know, you're just living like the world and there is no difference. You just come to church, you shout the victory, you jump up and down. Some people even speak in tongues and so forth like that. And then they go back out of the world. You know, 7 days of the week, they look just like the world. And then on Sunday, you look like an angel and so forth like that. Well, that's not going to get the job done. I am Alpha and Omega. And the Bible said, God is not mocked. He knows all things. And the eye of the eagle, he has seen everything. Praise the name of the Lord. And he now commands everybody, you know, awake. Awake, he says, to righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. He says, awake to righteousness. Now, all these scriptures are written to Christians. They're not written to unbelievers. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 was not written to unbelievers. He says, to the church at Corinth. And yet he's telling them, awake to righteousness. You know? Why is it that we must tell the church to awake to righteousness? Well, because iniquity has abounded. And the love of many have grown cold. Therefore, we must warn the people. You see, and my job as pastor of this little flock, so help me God, is we got to get everybody on that straight and narrow way. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. We don't want to leave anybody behind. See, we want every single last one of us on the path of righteousness to the gates of heaven. That's exactly right. You know, so we got to preach these messages, you know, so that, you know, I can say, you know, Lord, you know, I delivered the message. You know, and so forth. But Lord, tell me that just one message is not enough. We've got to come back time and time again and remind the people from time to time where they should be headed and the kind of life they should be living. And you young people that are in schools, if you are in the grade school or middle school or high school or college, or you're going away or whatever to college, so you listen to this. Don't be like the rest of the world. You know, if everybody says it's okay, you look to the word of God, you know, and you stay with that word. And before the end of this message, you're going to find out why it is necessary for you to stay with the word of God. Now, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. And I am going to read several verses out of this chapter. Jeremiah chapter 7, I'm going to start at verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah you know, from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house, just like this. You know? And just like this, the Lord told me, stand here this morning and proclaim this message, just like he told Jeremiah. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim these words and say, hear ye the word of the Lord. All ye of GMI Church, if you want to say it that way, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Every one of you that come in here, worship the Lord, sing in the choir, preach, even myself, not excluded. All of us together. Here's what the Lord says. Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. But why does he say to them, amen? You know, these are worshippers. These are people that go into the house of the Lord. But yet he's telling them, you better amend your ways. You better get your act together. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord. I've heard that before. The temple of the Lord. And so forth like that. He says, well, the temple of the Lord, you know, the body, is this the temple of the Lord? Not some building, you know, and so forth like that. That's not the temple of the Lord. You know, for if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, and if you execute judgment and so forth, you know, and all that, and let me put it this way, if you stay on the straight and the narrow way, and if you make holiness unto the Lord, you know, your very purpose in life, you know, and so forth like that. I say, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land and so forth. Behold, verse 8, ye trust in lying words which cannot profit. Verse 9, will you steal? Will you murder? Will you commit adultery or fornication, for that matter, and swear falsely, and then burn incense and do all of these things and go in the ways of the world, and then come into the house of the Lord and shout the victory, and then jump up and down and speak in tongues and do all these things? And then will you come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? And he said, and then will you think that the Lord that made the heavens and the earth, he doesn't see any of these things? He said, boy, say, is this house that is called by my name become a den of, you know, robbers in your eyes and so forth? He said, behold, I have seen it, saith the Lord. God has seen it. Amen. God sees all you do. Whether you are in the church or outside the church, he sees all you do and he hears all you say. My Lord is watching all the time. He's watching you all the time. He sees it, and those angels, they are also watching all the time. Now, but ye now go to my place which was in Shiloh. Now, I don't have time to go into the history of this Shiloh, but it was the first place that God chose to put his name there. See? And after he did, and then the people were boasting and doing all these things and say, oh, we got this and so forth like that. We got the glory of God and all that. But they did not live a life worthy of his name. So he shut the place down. And he tore it down. That's right. You know. So you say, well, I'm a child of God. I am the elect, I am the this and I'm the that and so forth. If you don't walk worthy of your calling, he'll shut that thing down. Behold, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. You know, and every tree that does not bring forth good fruit shall be cut down, saith the Lord. Now, you hear me this morning? Every tree that does not bring forth good fruit shall be cut down. You say, did Jesus say that? Absolutely. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 19. He says, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit shall be honed down and shall be cast into the fire. And how else can Jesus say it more plainly? Every tree that brings forth not good fruit shall be cut down and thrown into the fire. And he says, therefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Well, you say it's what's in the heart. Well, Jesus said, out of the heart comes forth fornication and adulteries and lies and all these things comes from the heart. So you say, well, it's what's in my heart. No, it's what you do. See, you can't jump up and down on Sunday and then live an unrighteous life the rest of the week and then come and stand before the Lord and say, you know, we are the people of the Lord. God has seen it. It's a great evil. Maybe not exactly in this church, but in the church in general. But we want the people of this church to separate themselves. You know, come out from among all of the evil that's going on in this generation. Be ye called the holy people. Be ye called a peculiar people. You know, lift up a standard. We're lifting up a standard this morning. We don't want to be like everybody. We want to be a cut above the rest. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Does not the Bible say ye are examples of the believers? That's right. We want to be a cut. We want the young people of this church to be an example of the believers. Well, I have heard so many things going on around young people. Not necessarily in this church, but all over the place and so forth. You know, people that call themselves Christians, the next thing we know, they are involved in one thing or the other that, you know, just drops the name of Christ in the mud and so forth like that. Well, it's not just young people, but it's everybody, you know, and so forth like that. This message goes even to those who are older and so forth. On your job and whatever you do. See, are you like everybody else? You know, are you trying to cheat your job out of something? Or cheat on your taxes or whatever it is and so forth. Be like the rest of the world and so forth. God has called us to be a holy people. How many of you can say praise the Lord? That's right. You know, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Forgive us our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many of you feel that that word is comforting? Amen. He's faithful and just. But this is not, see, this is not your father's Catholic church, if I may put it that way, where you can go and do anything you want and come back and say, well, Father, I have sinned. It's been X number of days before my last confession. And then you just come and so forth like that. And he said, well, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, I absolve you of your sin. And then you go away, you do some more evil, then you come back and he absorbs you of your sin and so forth. And then you go. No, that's not going to get the job done. We are called to be a holy people. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And if you say, let me tell you something else. Some people say, well, I know the Lord forgives. Well, if you think in your heart that the Lord forgives, and therefore you think that's a license for liberty or for you to do anything, that shows the kind of seed that is in you. See? Amen? That's right. And let me tell you some other thing. Our God, in Hebrews 12 and 29, is a consuming fire. And judgment will begin at the house of God. See? So, if you think, well, you know, I can always do anything I want, and I can always come back and say, Lord, I'm sorry, and so forth. There is a time coming that the Lord is going to fix it. And he said, at that time, let him that is holy remain holy. And let him that is unholy remain so. And so forth. Those that are unjust, he'll fix it. And you won't be able to go back and forth like that as you always did. You know, so this is the time that you must get a hold of the Lord. And look within yourself. And if your life is not shaping up to this highway of holiness, see, then you better amend your ways, saith the Lord. See, now this message is for everybody in here, including the one that is preaching it. You know, we must amend our ways. You know, we must stay on that straight and narrow way. And Jesus said, you know, here's what he said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is his will? Even your sanctification. His will is for you to be holy. Be ye holy even as I am holy. You know, he walked, you know, he called Abraham after many years of Abraham walking with him. He appeared to Abraham, you know, in the hills of Mamre and said, Abraham, I am thy God and thy great exceeding reward. I am your shield. Walk thou before me. Even after many years of walking before him, he still told Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Amen. You say, walk before me. That's right. That's my message to everybody in this church this morning. Walk before the Lord. I'm not talking of on Sundays. I'm talking of every single day. Even when you are not here in the church. When the pastor is not around. When nobody is around. Walk before the Lord. That's how Enoch did it and he got out of this world. He walked before the Lord every day that he was translated. If you want to get out of this world, you're going to have to walk before the Lord. I have news for many people. When the translation takes place, so many church-going, tongue-speaking people will be left behind because they were not living a life of righteousness. The Bible says, the scepter of thy throne is a scepter of righteousness. That's the first thing about God. And if you want anywhere near God at all, righteousness become at thy house, O God. And he said, it shall come unto me on that day and say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? See, because they missed the rapture. And have we not done all these things, cast out devils, spoken in tongues, done all these wonderful works, preached to others? That's right. Preachers are not exempt. Amen? How many of you think preachers are exempt from these things? Oh no, these people are preachers. They cast out devils, they do all of these things and so forth like that. Nobody's exempt. I am not exempt from these things. Nobody's exempt. You sing in a choir and so forth, that doesn't exempt you. You do great things for the Lord. You witness to people every day, that doesn't exempt you. You yourself are called to be a vessel of honor. And Paul said, after I preach to others, I take care of my own self so that I will not be a castaway. Amen. And so these people, they came to the Lord and said, we've done all these things. Lord, how come you were left behind? And Jesus said unto them, well, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So iniquity nullifies all of their great works. All the things they did, all the casting out of devils, all the prophesying in his name, all the great works they did. Jesus didn't say they didn't do those works. But he said, because you walk iniquity, all those great works you did, they will mean nothing. How many of you are still with me this morning? That's right. This is a sobering message, but it is the truth. Does it matter if you are a great preacher? Does it matter if you are a great songwriter or great with the music and so forth? You see, if you walk iniquity or you don't leave that straight and narrow way, all those things that you did, they won't mean a single thing. Jesus at the end will say, I never knew you. My. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 7. He says in verse 12, but go ye now unto my place which was in Shiloh, which at the first I set my name there, and see what I did to that place because of the wickedness of it. A place that God chose to put his name there. He destroyed the place because of their wickedness. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and every day exhorting you and so forth to walk in righteousness, you know, but you wouldn't hear. Here's what he said. So therefore will I do unto this house which is called by my name. See, God doesn't, you know, he's not moved by anything that you name yourself. He's only moved by your righteousness, your holiness in his ways. You say, righteousness, well, we cannot be righteous on our own. See, I'm not telling you to try to be righteous like the Pharisees and so forth, you know. The righteousness that we have is the righteousness of Christ. But you can't say, well, you know, let me continue in sin so that grace may abound. That's not going to work either. See, you've got to make up your mind this day whom you are going to serve. Are you going to serve the Lord and walk before him every day of your life? You know, the Bible says, my little children, be not deceived. He that walketh righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. In 1 John chapter, you know, in the first letter of John. You know, and so forth like that. And God, he wants us to walk in righteousness. He said, because you have done all this evil, and you have come into my house and so forth, you know, which is called by my name, which is what you trust in and so forth. And he said, well, in this place and all that, you know, he said, I'm going to destroy it. See? And everything that God ever did, that people, you know, messed up because of their iniquity, he brought it down. You know, and so forth like that. And you, every one of you sitting in here today, Even some of you young people, you may have visions of glory. You may have things that God has told you in your life that you are going to do great things for the Lord. You may have visions, you may have dreams and so forth. Those visions and dreams will never come to pass if you are not walking the paths of righteousness in His name's sake. Because He'll shut it down. See, because He said every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is cut down. He'll cut it down. That's right. You say, well, you know, that's pretty rough. No. It's better for me to be rough now and get you out of trouble. How many of you say amen? Amen. That's right. I'd rather be rough now and get you out of trouble, get you on the path of righteousness. My joy. The Bible says, you know, take heed and give, you know, give heed to those that have the rule, the word over you, because they care for your souls. See, in Hebrews chapter 13, they want, you know, to be able to give account for your souls and so forth like that. So let me read that to you here in Hebrews chapter 13, you know, because I have this responsibility in Hebrews chapter 13 to bring this word to you and so forth. Verse 7 and verse 17. Remember them which have the rule over you that have spoken unto you the word of the Lord, whose faith follow. See, I want to be able to stand here and say, I don't want to say, you know, like some people say, don't do what I do, just do what I say. No, I want to be able to say, do what I do. And I always tell my children in my house, and I say, look, I have set a good example before you all. Paul himself, he said, be ye followers of me. How many of you say amen to that? Even as I follow Christ. And in verse 17 of Hebrews 13, he says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. See? Why? Because they watch for your soul, so that because they must give account. And they want to be able to do it with joy, not with grief. I want to give account. I want to be able to give account with joy and say, Lord, the little flock over whom you made me a pastor and so forth. I preached that word and I got them on that straight and narrow way, you know, and so forth like that. And we are all here before the Lord. And I want to be able to say that. And the only way I can say that on that last great day is for me to preach this kind of message from time to time to make sure that people are staying on the straight and the narrow. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. That's right. You know, we preach a lot of joyful messages here, you know, and so forth like that. You have to come to every service. You can't take one message and, you know, say, well, that's what, you know. No, we preach everything in the Bible. You know, we believe the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. See, but this message this morning is for us to be able to walk the straight and the narrow way. Don't be like the world. He said, lift up a standard for my people this morning. Praise Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And here is a word of prophecy that He gave me this morning to read to the church. And I'm going to read it to you. He said, wherefore lean upon me quickly, saith the Lord, and return unto me, and amend your ways, and walk ye before me in the paths of righteousness, that I may lead you to the gates of heaven. But if thou repent not, then I shall cut thee down with the sword of my mouth, and the latter end shall be worse than the first. But unto them that fear my name and tremble at my word this morning, and walk in my ways, and return unto me, even them will I cause to stand before me, and they shall inherit all things, saith the Lord. How many of you say amen to that? That's right. Let me read it to you once again. Wherefore lean upon me quickly. I wrote this morning when I was in prayer. He gave it to me and I wrote it down. Wherefore lean upon me quickly, saith the Lord, and return unto me, and amend your ways, and walk ye before me in the paths of righteousness, that I may lead you to the gates of heaven. Well, you've got to walk in the paths of righteousness so that He may lead you to the gates of heaven. Did you ever know that the gates of hell are trying to prevent you from getting to the gates of heaven? When you are on that path of righteousness, you are going to come up with many gates of hell. See? But you must stay with the Word. And you must stay with the nature of Christ. And then you can blow back those gates of hell and keep going until you arrive at the gates of heaven. And He said, walk before me in the path of righteousness that I may lead you to the gates of heaven. But if thou repent not, Then I shall cut thee down with the sword of my mouth, and the latter end shall be worse than the first. But unto them that fear my name and walk in my ways and return unto me, even them will I cause to stand before me, and they shall inherit all things. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this is the kind of message we need to hear, especially when we are in consecration. This is the kind of message he said, the Lord said, I will thoroughly cleanse my floor. Judgment shall begin at the house of God. You see, when you judge yourself with the word of God like this, then you shall not be judged on the great day. How many of you say amen? Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Cleanse your ways this morning. Amend your ways before the Lord. You young people, don't live like the world and so forth like that. Be an example of the believers. Be a cut above the rest. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And everywhere you go, you let that light shine in you. Let that light so shine, Jesus said, that they may see your good works and give glory to our Father that is in heaven. Now, I'm going to sing a song. I'm not a singer, but I love to sing. And as I sing this song, if you want to rededicate your life, you come out here and you pray this prayer with me. Or if this is your first time, I mean, maybe this message is kind of new to you. See, because this was a message for believers. So if you've never given your life to the Lord, we never want to close any service without giving you an opportunity. You come out here this morning also and give your life to the Lord. And you get on that, on those paths of righteousness, and the Lord, he will lead you. Now when I sing this song, as I sing this song this morning, I want you to make your way out here and dedicate your life to the Lord. Now if you have been living a shady life, an angel on Sunday, and I don't know what to call you, Monday through Saturday, you know, this is no time to do that. See, the times of ignorance God has winked at, but he now commands everyone everywhere to repent. This song says, oh, he knew me, yet he loved me. See, it is the great love of God that brings a message like this to you. He whose glory makes the heavens to shine. Oh, I'm so unworthy of such mercy. Because when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. How many of you say amen to that? Oh, he knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. I am so unworthy of such mercy. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Oh, he knew me. Come on, make your way out here and rededicate your life. Yet he loved me. Don't worry about what people will say. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. Oh, I am so unworthy of such mercy. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Oh, he knew me. Oh, he knew you, but yet he loved you. Yet he loved me. glory makes the heavens shine. Oh, you are so unworthy. So unworthy. All of us are so unworthy of such mercy. Of such mercy. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Oh, he knew. Those of you that came forward, come closer. Let's pray together. Yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. So unworthy of such mercy. Oh, where he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Those of you that came forward this morning, I thank you. And the Lord thanks you. He said, this is the one to whom I will look, he that trembles at my word. You have trembled at his word this morning by coming out. And the Lord, he will have mercy on you. I want everybody to begin to pray.